Well, church, would you pray with me? Kind of as our kids are getting settled. Lord God, we thank you for this day. Because this day, Lord, it's another opportunity to know you. It's another opportunity to walk with you, O God. It's another opportunity to enjoy the amazing blessings you give us in this life. Lord, would you bless us now as we look at the scriptures, as we look in the Bible, to see your heart as it is revealed to us. Open our eyes to see, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to understand and to know more of you, God. Not only to know more of you, but to know you more. Bless us now, Lord. Amen. It's so great having a life in the children's ministry. I absolutely love that. And having the families come up here, I've told people over and over again, this is my favorite part of the service, just being able to see all of the life and all of the fun that people are having. And I forgot to mention earlier, I know that's a shocker, but Helen Job, who's back there, she is a grandma now. And so that's exciting. Yeah. So your birdie, she can't fact check me. She's not here to fact check me, so I can say whatever I want. But Birdie Ray was born, I believe, on Friday. I want to say Friday. And that is a grandchild for Helen. And as a side note for that, Helen serves as our administrative assistant here at the church, and she's been wonderful in that role. She is stepping down from that position to be a full-time grandma, which is exciting. You know, it was, I remember back in January, the first week when I was technically lead pastor, the conversation basically went, you know, congratulations, Michael, I'm excited for you, I'm quitting. Well, I mean, she gave me 8 months notice, and so I can't complain much. But she's stepping down at the end of the month, and Kim Westfall, is Kim in here? Kim's right there, wave your hand, Kim. Kim is going to be stepping into that position here pretty soon. So I say all that to say, if you have any needs and if you call Helen, there's a good chance she won't answer. call Kim. She is the person. And that's official. I think, is that this week, Kim? Kim Westfall. Hi. Is that this week where it's officially starting?
No, the start of September.
Start of September. Okay, like I said, at the beginning of the month of September is when Kim will be stepping into that spot. So that's exciting. All kinds of new stuff going on. Has anyone ever heard somebody do something and then say, God told me to do it? You know, sometimes people say, God told me to do it, and they do wonderful things. You hear of people stepping away from high-paying jobs to work at nonprofits. You hear of people, of families, moving overseas to tell faraway people all about Jesus. You hear of families giving up the quiet and peace of the house in order to take in and adopt children that are in need of a place. People do wonderful, wonderful things because God has told them. However, people often do some goofy stuff when they feel like God has told them. I remember reading an article, and this was a couple years ago, out in California, which, have you noticed, it seems like all of the interesting stuff happens out in California, just saying. But there was this elementary teacher who was arrested. He was charged because he was walking down the sidewalk, and there's a video of it. Two kids, probably 10 or 12 years old, were skateboarding, and one was videotaping the other one. And this teacher shoves this kid off the board, picks up the board, tries to hit him with it, and tries to hit the other kid, and ends up just chucking that board over a wall. And that's all on videotape. And so the teacher's arrested, of course. And what he told the officer was, he says, you know, when God gets a hold of you, you just have to do what he tells you. If you're here, and if you're thinking God is telling you to beat up some kids, I'm going to stand on the word of God and say, no, that's not it at all. And then if you keep going with that story, he actually retained his job as a teacher, which I find interesting for all kinds of other reasons. Now, but there's even a legal defense of God told me to do it. People commit horrible crimes. People commit murder. And they go and stand in front of the judge and they say, God told me to do it. Sometimes people use that phrase when they're trying to get you to do something. They're trying to control you a little bit. Now, I remember when one of our kids, and we've had a bunch of them, so see if you can guess which one. But one of our kids, when he was about 4 years old, at the house we have family devotionals, usually around the dinner table, and then we encourage our kids to go and pray on their own as well. And that looks different for a 3-year-old to a 13-year-old, but that's kind of what we're trying to teach our kids how to pray. And I remember this one day my 4-year-old came up to me and he says, Dad, God spoke to me. I said, well, great, son. What did he say? He says, well, Dad, God said that today we really need to watch Batman. Really? Encouraged him to pray that God would speak the same thing to me. looking for confirmation. But more than once, I've had somebody come up to me and tell me that God wants me to do, fill in the blank with anything here. And genuinely, or generally, it's coincidentally something that they want done anyways. And that may be genuine, it may not, I don't know. But the point I think that we can derive from all of this is to say that people have misheard God. People believe that they have heard God speak when God hasn't said anything. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes people do wonderful things, sometimes people do horrible things, believing that God has spoken to them. So if that's the case, how can we distinguish the voice of God? How can we look to see if what we're feeling, if what we're sensing, if that's really God, or if that's in the words of another teacher, if that's last night's pizza talking to us? How can we discern between God's voice and our own imagination? That's what I want us to see today. You see, last week we started a series looking at drawing deeper into God. I believe firmly that God is calling his church. And not only God always calls his church, but that right now God is especially calling his church to a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with him. And last week we looked at prayer. We looked at how can we remain in Christ. But prayer, it's a two-way conversation. Not only do we speak, but we also listen. God speaks as well. And so how can we distinguish between the voice of God and our own imagination, our own wills, our own desires? Well, one way that we can do that, and the answer I'm going to give you today is this. Search the scriptures to see the word of God. Take whatever it is that you're feeling, that you're sensing, that you're wondering, is this God speaking? And lay it on top of the Bible. See if it lines up. See if it matches. Today we're going to look, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say on this topic. Last week, like I said, we looked at how we remain in Christ. And we looked at how we pray, kind of our end of that conversation. Today I want us to see how Christ remains in us, and how he speaks, and how we listen to him. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at some of the same verses that we looked at last week, but we're looking at the other end of that conversation. John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 4. And Jesus says this. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now notice what Jesus is saying here about how he remains with us, not only with us, but within us. You see, in verse 4, he says that he will remain in us. And then in verse 7, he says, my words will remain in you. And then a little bit further down in verse 11, he says, my joy will remain in you. There's a connection there between Jesus himself, between the word of God, and between the joy of God. If we have Jesus, then we have his words, and we have his joy. You know, joy is something that seems like it doesn't get talked about much through messages, through preaching. But all throughout the scriptures, you see God's desire that we have perfect and complete joy. Because the only way that we can have that is in him. If you read through the Bible, underline every time you see the word joy or rejoice or joyful or some derivative of that word, you're going to see it all over the place. Because God desperately wants his people to have joy. And that joy is found in him. Have you ever met someone? Ever met someone who follows Jesus that has, seems like, the spiritual gift of grumbling? The spiritual gift of just sucking the joy right out of life? I think they're missing something. Because with Jesus, there's perfect, complete, full, overwhelming joy as he lives within us. Now, having this joy doesn't mean that every day is happy and nothing bad ever happens. That's a totally different concept. Joy is knowing that even in the midst of the storm, that we can praise him still because we remember that he is a good God. Jesus also says, backing up to verse 7, he says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Where do we find the words of Christ? They're right here. The word of God has been written for each one of us to see, for each one of us to seek. And so if we want to see what God is speaking, we can look right here at the scriptures. Now, this isn't the only way that God speaks. He speaks in other ways as well. But the Bible is to be the standard of how we judge, of how we interpret the other ways that we believe we're hearing God. What are some of those ways? Well, God speaks through prayer. You know, as you're praying, you're going to feel led towards an answer. You're going to feel led in a certain direction if you're praying about which path to take in life, especially if you've been praying for the same thing for a long time. And what I mean by that is not necessarily I spent 45 minutes praying about one issue this morning. I mean you've been praying about this for weeks, for months, for years. God speaks to us through our prayers. God also speaks to us through nature. You know, if you go and see the Grand Canyon, you just stand and marvel at that. A couple years ago, I got to travel over to the Smoky Mountains and walk up through there, walk the trails, and you see these beautiful waterfalls. And we saw pictures of them, and pictures are wonderful, but it's got nothing on the real thing, on actually being there. If you've ever been to the ocean, if you've ever seen the ocean, you know, a few years ago, we had the opportunity to fly over to China. And as we're going across the Pacific Ocean, all you can see is water in every direction. And it feels that way for hours as you're going across it. And I'm sitting there and I'm marveling at how big the ocean is. And then somebody reminded me, It's just the top of it. You ever thought about that? That thing goes down forever. And the God who made that has made you and loves you deeply. If you've ever gotten outside the city and looked at the stars, you know, I heard a preacher once say that if you ever want to experience God, go outside the city. You can't see the stars in Columbia, but get out a little bit on a nice clear night, and there's stars everywhere. Get out there and just simply say, "Our Father," and meditate on that. God will speak to you there. See, I believe that's what the psalmist was experiencing when he writes in Psalm 8, when he says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him?" When you think and ponder how great and how vast this universe is, who are we that God should love us so dearly? But he does. God can speak through nature. God speaks through other spirit-filled people. You know, someone may come up to you and say they have an encouragement for you. And oftentimes, they don't know that God is speaking through them. I can't tell you how many times I've had an issue, I've had a decision, I've had something going on, and then someone comes and just wants to encourage me with something, and they don't know what I've been going through, but their words speak directly to it. God speaks through people. God speaks through circumstances. You know, if you're wondering if you should move forward with a new job or if you should go back to college or if you should do something like that, and all the circumstances just seem to line up in a nice, neat little row, that could be God speaking right there. But in all of these ways, we are to judge what we think, we're feeling, what we're sensing, what we believe God is leading us to. We're to lay that on top of the scriptures and see if it matches. Now, people can misuse scripture, don't get me wrong. It's like the boy that's trying to get the girl to go on a date with him, and he quotes Isaiah 55:12, which says, "You shall go out in joy." If you're here and you're looking for a new line, that's a good one right there. Just saying. People can misuse the scriptures, but when we are honestly, genuinely seeking God through his written word, when we are studying the passages that we're seeing, then the word of God is going to remain within us, and it'll settle within our hearts. And once Christ's word is within our hearts, then we can listen. Then we can hear what God might be saying to us. And so if God speaks through the Bible, if God speaks through the wonderful words that he has for us, how can we hear God if we're not around a Bible? How can we hear God throughout the day as we're working, as we're caring for our families, as we're doing all the jobs that we have? How can we hear Christ's word as they remain within us? Well, one way to keep Christ's word within you is to memorize scripture. You see, scripture memorization, that's fuel to the fire of hearing God. When you take a verse and you ponder over it, you write it down, you think about it throughout the day, you think about it as you're driving, it's going to settle within you. And then God is going to speak through that verse. You know, Jesus says, quoting the Old Testament, but he says that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we live on the word of God? We constantly have it within us. Later on in the New Testament, Paul writes Timothy, and he says that all scripture, meaning the whole Bible, is God-breathed. It is the very word of God. And so if this is the word of God, then we want it to be within us. We want to be able to look to the Bible, to see what it says, and then to listen to what God might have for us. You know, Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And this whole psalm is about the love of God's word. And in there you find verses that many, many, many people know. For example, in verse 11, you see, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When we hide God's word in our heart through memorizing scripture, then when temptations come, then when we feel the urge to walk away from God, we can be reminded of what God has said and be drawn back to him. A little bit later on in the psalm, he writes and says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." Let God's word guide the way you live every day of life. And that's only possible through memorizing scripture, memorizing verses. Now, there is a way to memorize scripture and to keep it up here, and it never sinks to here. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to understand mentally, to agree with what God has said, but to not let it change your life at all. And that's not what we want. We want to be able to look at God's word, to study it, to learn it, to remember it. And then as we recite it over and over again, it sinks down to our hearts. And there, it can guide us and lead us and be with us all throughout life. Jesus says, "My words will remain within you." And one way that happens, there's other ways, but one way that happens is through memorizing scripture. If you look at the Psalms are beautiful responses to God. For example, Psalm 103, the one that Charles Spurgeon says stands as a mountain above all the rest, is this beautiful response the psalmist has to who God is. And as you think about it and as you ponder it, you're going to be caught up in what the psalmist has to say. I mean, how could you not? The psalm, it goes like this. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Does anybody need good? Look to God. He goes on. He says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he cast our sins from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, and then the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And then you get caught up with the psalmist as he closes. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, you his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord in all places of his dominion, in all of his work. Bless the Lord, O my soul." When you read that, when you read that and ponder it and write it down, how can you help but be caught up in what God is doing? If you want the words of Christ to remain within you, write them down. Memorize them. That psalm is 22 verses. I've seen people recite many, many, many more than that. And it is incredibly powerful to see and to be a part of. But start with one verse. Just take one little verse. Write it down and think about it. Then put it within your mind and within your heart. And then as it's within your heart, listen to what God might be saying to you. Because he is speaking. As we talked earlier about ways that people have misheard God, some people overreact to that and they say, "Well, that can't be God because God doesn't speak anymore." Better to say that God doesn't talk than it is that we might misunderstand. Well, none of that is true. God is very much speaking to his creation today. God is speaking to you today. How can we hear his voice? And so if we see that God's word remains in us, primarily through the Bible, there's other ways as we have said, how can we begin to hear him? Well, I want to invite you to create the regular habit of reading the Bible. Seek Christ in the scriptures regularly, not once every here and there, but regularly, and listen for what he might be saying. If you're here right now and if you have the habit of daily Bible reading, that's wonderful, that's amazing, keep going. But if you're here now and if that idea seems foreign to you of seeking God in the scriptures, let me encourage you to start small. Just as last week when we talked about prayer, we talked about starting small in our prayer life. Start small in reading the scriptures. Read just one chapter in a day. Start with the Gospel of John. Within John's Gospel, you're going to see the beautiful life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. You're going to see his crucifixion, his resurrection. And the whole Gospel was written to help us believe even more than we already do. Read John, one chapter in a day. And I can guarantee you this, as you're reading each chapter, there's going to be a verse that jumps out the page at you. Take an index card and write it down. And then take it with you throughout your day. And on lunch, take it out and read it. Before you get in your car on the way home, read it. As you're driving home, recite it. When you get home and you're getting ready to eat dinner, take that out and read it again. And by so doing, God's word will land within your minds, sink to your hearts, and he'll be speaking directly to you. Now, this is also why it's so important that we properly interpret and properly understand the passages. You know, earlier I gave a trivial example of someone misusing scripture. But we don't have to look too far to see people using the Bible for horrible, horrible, horrible things, even throughout history. That's why it's important for us to know how to understand the Bible. And I cannot encourage you enough. We're going to meet this fall for 6 weeks, and that's the question we're going to be asking, is how do we understand scriptures? Wednesday evenings, there's a sign-up sheet out there. Sign up. Come and join us. We're going to look at how we can move from what the Bible says, meaning we observe it, we look at it, we see the words that it says, to interpret those words. To what do they mean? And then finally, how does my life change because of that? You know, if we study the Bible and if we look at the Bible and we see what it says and then we interpret and we see the beautiful truths that God has for us, but we never apply them to our life, we're missing something. All Bible reading must go to how does this impact life for me today? But come and join us. We're going to look at all of those. Now, last week, I shared with you my own personal model of prayer. Start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. It just means we're asking God to move within this world. But whenever I sit down for my quiet time in the mornings, that's not where I start. I don't start by praying in that way. First, I start with the Word of God because I want God's thoughts to be in my mind. I want God's heart to be in my heart. If I'm working on memorizing the scripture, I'll recite the verses that I'm memorizing. I have a Bible reading plan that I use at the house. I'll read through the scriptures, and then I'll move towards prayer. Because when you're praying after you look at God's word, you can pray freely because you're praying according to His heart, because His heart is within you. Search the scriptures, church. See God's word for you and listen to what He might be saying to you. Now, sometimes when we talk, when we discuss about how God has spoken to us or God is leading us, or even the idea of God speaking, the picture that comes to mind is the clouds parting, the angels descending, the thunder roaring, the room shaking, and then a voice comes out of heaven. And that's happened. It's in the Bible. It's happened. But generally, God doesn't speak in that way. Now, I'm reminded of the story of Elijah the prophet. See, Elijah was in a bad place. He was having a bad day. There were a group of people that were trying to hunt him down to kill him. He doesn't get much worse than that. And he ends up in this cave, and he's crying out to God, saying, God, these people are trying to hurt me. They're trying to kill me. And God responds. He tells Elijah to walk out of the cave, and he says, I'll speak to you there. And as Elijah exits the cave, it says that a great wind comes across and it shatters the rocks all around Elijah. And you're thinking, wow, this must be the voice of God. But it says God was not in the wind. And then this great earthquake came and the ground around him is all shaking and things are falling apart. And you think, this must be the voice of God. But God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire comes and it burns all the vegetation around Elijah. But God was not in the fire. And then it says, a gentle whisper, a still small voice. And Elijah was drawn to that because that was the voice of God speaking to him. As you search God's word, as you read it, as you memorize it, as you ponder over it, as you pray it, be listening for a gentle whisper. Because that just might be God speaking to you. Ken, would you come on up? Church, God wants to speak to you. More than that, God is speaking to you. Part of our prayer is listening to what God might be saying. Part of drawing near to God is opening our minds and our ears to be able to hear Him. And how do we hear God speak? We hear Him through prayer. We hear God speak through nature. We hear God speak through people. But let me submit to you that the best way to hear God speak, the most common way that God speaks to us, is through the scriptures. Read them. Open your Bible at home. Read it. Search it. Write down verses that jump out at you. Let it start within your mind. Let it land within your heart. And then listen to what God might be saying to you. Because as a loving father, God wants to speak to his children. No one would call a dad a good dad if he never talked to his kids. God is a good dad, and he wants to speak with each and every one of us. Let's listen. Let's listen to God. Let's take a moment right now. I want to encourage everyone to quiet your hearts, to close your eyes. And ponder over this idea of listening to God. If you have an issue that you've brought to God over and over again, bring it to Him and listen. If you're here and you believe that God has been speaking to you, that He's been showing you through the Scriptures the wonderful things that He has for you, and take a moment and listen and see what else God may have. If you're here and if you've never prayed before, if this idea of praying seems foreign to you, or even the idea of God loving you seems foreign to you, take a moment, quiet your heart, and think of God as a loving father. He's not the father that you had growing up with all his faults and failures. Or he's not the dad that you had growing up if you had an abusive dad or an angry dad. That's not God. God is a loving father, and he wants to speak. So let's take a moment right now. And let's listen. And I'll draw us to a close in prayer in just a minute. But listen to what God might be speaking to you. I was reminded of this passage this morning where God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, another prophet. And he asks a question. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. Listen to God as he says he will never forget you. He will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. He is constantly calling you, constantly reaching out to you, constantly inviting you into a deeper walk, a deeper relationship with Him. Can you hear Him calling? Can you see His heart in the Scriptures? Can you see His heart through God's people around you? Listen to what God is saying. Lord, I thank you that you do speak with us, God. You are a God who wants to be known. You are a God that wants relationship with your creation, oh Lord. Lord, you are that loving Father that is not waiting to catch us when we do something wrong, that's not waiting to beat up on us for the mistakes that we have made. No, you are a loving Father that chases after your children to bring them back to you. I remember in my own life, Lord, I remember that day when I turned to you, God, several years ago. And though I was expecting to find an angry, bitter, judgmental God, I found a God with his arms open, waiting to receive me. If you're here today and if you've never had a connection with Jesus, he is waiting for you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not willing to have a broken relationship with any of His creation. He wants to restore you to Him. Hear as He calls you and turn to Him. God, I pray for those who feel distant from You today, Lord. Maybe they've never had a connection with You. Maybe they've had years ago, but over time it's just kind of waned away. Lord, would You restore that connection today, oh God? Speak, Lord. Speak through the songs that we sing. Speak through music. Speak through people. Speak through prayer. Speak through the books that we read. Speak through the circumstances of life, oh Lord. Speak through nature. Speak through children. Your word says that You speak through children. Speak through Your word, Lord. And as the prophet Samuel said, when he was but a boy and he was hearing the voice of God, he says, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak to Your people, O God, for we are listening. We love You, Lord. Oh, how we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, don't get overly excited, but we're finished a few minutes early. I know you're bumming. I know it's a sorrowful day. But please go and get your kids right down here and take some time this week. I can't encourage you enough. Open the scriptures and see what God might be saying to you. God bless you, church.